It is so good. We have another opportunity. Welcome, dear friends. You know, as I see it, there is hardly any spare seats left. And we are constantly reminded this auditorium is not big enough. To extend again is not on. How shall we say, solve this situation? You know, we used to have about 30 people, 25 people each side, so that is a space for 50 people. And I want to suggest that from next week, there will be 25 seats there and 25 seats here. And all the session take the first move to come up here with your families. Session. I'll make a start. Huh? You follow. And all fellowship leaders, please pay attention. We urge people to come, but don't expect the ordinary member in the pew. They are very shy people, right? All of you are very shy. So I say, let's take a lead session, please. Follow me. Immediately, it will release 50 seats upstairs, downstairs. And that will allow us perhaps another 1 year of grace. After that, we shall have to use the extension, which can take 450 more. Whatever it is, as the Lord prospers, we must act with wisdom, right? Agree? Pray about it, please. This is a problem, not my problem or your problem, but it is all our problem. Now, coming to today's sermon talk, I want to turn your minds backwards to a day when a lot of you were not born. To the Second World War. Truly, almost 70 years ago, focus on the great continent. What is the great continent? But Europe. And there, practically the whole of Europe had fallen under one great power, under one man. The name is well known to you, a notorious name that nobody on earth wants to call his son Hitler. So he was in charge. And at that time, we in Singapore were just a colony of England. Do you understand what that means? Everything is ruled from London. And we got to learn English, sing God Save the Queen. Every Queen's birthday, carry flags and go on parade. Like today's National Day. Those days, the National Day was in to exalt the Queen of England, all right? So that is what I'm talking about. Hitler thought he would conquer England. And he announced that his regime would last 1,000 years. Amazing arrogance, not understanding that above is the great God Almighty who rules in human affairs. Do you believe that? Do you know that? So Hitler says, England, watch out. Every night they came, bombing. It looked bad. We in Singapore hope, pray that England will survive. And England did survive. God called one man. Where there is Europe had a Hitler, England had a, you know his name? Churchill. Right, one man. And he told the people, we will survive. No matter what Hitler does, we will resist him. We will fight on the beaches. We will fight in the streets. We will fight in every lane. But we will never surrender. And he rallied his people. He says, I do not promise you a bed of roses, but I promise you this. Listen, blood, sweat, tears. With his leadership, Great Britain overcame the Germans. Germans surrendered in 1945. Dear friends, that is history. And we who ignore the lessons of history are doomed. Yes? Doomed to repeat its mistakes. That is why Singapore today, as an independent nation, is so concerned and so committed to self-defense. People say, why do you have NS? Why have people fighting? There's no war. It'd be foolish to begin training when the war is started. But when you're ready, the war can be avoided. I'm not preaching for NS or anything. I'm telling you what is wisdom. So those of our young people, by the way, we pastors have realized that we have failed in some ways to have an official prayer for all NS boys going into the army for training. So those who are in NS, please report to our deacons. And every so often, as a batch goes in, we will have you here, that we may pray with you, that when you go into the army, you know there is a praying body of people behind you, grateful that there are young men going to defend our nation. So we will pray for you. You know, England won the war but lost the peace. It's an amazing thing. Do you know that? Before the war, almost all the motor cars were British. All the brands have disappeared. Those days we drove Austin cars, Morris cars, Rolls-Royce and Hillman and a lot of other names that are extinct today. Gone. Why? As I said, England won the war, lost the peace. When the peace came, the people refused to work. They came in a socialist government. And in fact, Mr. Churchill was kicked out. For saving the nation, the gratitude of the people is vote him out. And came in a man called Clement Attlee. And he led the people into the socialist system. And that is why England is so backward today. A socialist government teach the people socialism is get something for nothing. You don't work. I worked in Belfast for 2 years. A family goes on the dole. What is the dole? Dole means you get something for nothing. If I earn $1,000 as a worker and I get sick, I get $2,000. Why work? You see? That is the socialist system. Singapore has got out of the socialist system. So England won the war, lost the peace. That's a bit of history. Now, today, we learn another lesson of history. Go further back. Further back than 70 years, back to 2,000 years ago. And there we understand Jesus came and intervened in human history. This one we must always remind ourselves. This is part of history. Jesus came into history as Emmanuel, God as a man, walking the streets of Jerusalem, going here and there preaching as a poor preacher, unknown until his miracles drew multitudes and they came and said, hey, this man is special. Everybody looked to him because he could do things nobody ever did before him. So he entered into history. And people ask, whenever there is a great leader, there is a following. Jesus had a following, you remember that? Wherever he went, multitudes came to hear him because firstly, he preached as no other man preached. And he healed every disease. By the way, the modern faith healers that are going around making noise today, let me tell you categorically, none of them can really heal. They can make noise. They can get a following. They can pretend to heal, but none of them can heal. Please understand. All right? That is not the sermon. The sermon is Jesus. Jesus came and crowds came. And naturally, when you are a leader of people, the followers always want to know, what have you to offer to us? This is what all the politicians got to prepare to tell the people. Today, in America, there's a new star coming up called Mr. Barack Obama. He's part white, part black. So blacks and whites all love him. So they want to ask him, what is it you have got to offer? Everybody wants to know. Now today, the people are asking, what has Jesus to offer? Ah, that is important, isn't it? What does Jesus offer? Do you know? Can you tell? Our text is in Matthew chapter 5. And here we are going to read of what Jesus offers and what he told the disciples. He tells us today, what has God to offer to us? Matthew chapter 5. This is the beginning of the most famous sermon ever preached, called the Sermon on the Mount. Why the Sermon on the Mount? Because Jesus went up the mountain, all the people flocked to hear him. All right, listen. Chapter 5, verse 1. Here the Lord of history enters into human history in a place called Palestine or Israel. And there the people came to hear him. Are you listening? Are your ears open? Is your heart understanding? Listen. Verse 1 says, seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. That's why it's called Sermon on the Mount. He sat down and his disciples, and he began to preach. Now, from verse 3 to verse 12 is our text. There are 9 times in these verses where Jesus begins with the word blessed. All of us are in quest of happiness. I know no one who is in quest of sadness or sorrow. Nobody needs to seek them because they come sooner than you think. You don't have to seek for sorrow, but all of us look for happiness. Here Jesus offers 9 times happiness. You want happiness? Read this. But a lot of these promises are paradoxical. You know what is paradoxical? The answer to the question is the opposite of what you think should be. All right. Look at verse 1. Blessed are the poor in spirit. How come I can be happy if I'm poor in spirit? Poor in spirit, one who is downcast and morose. And then they say you'll be happy if you're morose. That's a contradiction, isn't it? Paradox. But Jesus is the master teacher. And he says, you want to be happy? First, sorrow for your sins. Recognize that you are filthy, evil, sinning person who has no hope except to come to the Son of Man. Then you'll be happy. 2, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn. This is what I said. You want to be happy? Sorrow for your sins. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek, the ones who look like nobody. So quiet, non-achievers, very humble. And they say, you'll be happy if you're like that. Yes. In the kingdom of God, those who take last place are the honored one, and they will be given the joy of the Lord because they are so humble and meek. That is the way of the kingdom. Jesus preached not pride, not power, not political power, or military or any other power, money power, all those things are nothing. But when you have no power, meek, nothing, and know that you are nothing. To be nothing and know that you are nothing, you come to Jesus Christ and he gives you everything you need, you'll be happy. Verse 6. Blessed are they who hunger. How to be happy by being hungry and thirsty? Oh yes. We are talking here not of physical things, dear friends. You're looking for what
all of us are looking for happiness and fulfilled stomach. And Jesus says, that's right, you all want. But the first step is be hungry, yearn for the righteousness of God, and hunger for those things. You will be filled, you'll be happy. But God only can do it. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, that they shall see God. What the fool? Who has seen God? Nobody. How to see God? Jesus says, can't. You need your heart to be cleansed. And when you come to Jesus Christ, he begins to deal with your heart, with all the evil and the things that you hide inside your heart. Nobody knows. All those secret sins purified the heart. Then you can see God. 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Yes. Always seeking for peace, that Jesus Christ may be magnified in you, because you are not a quarrelsome person. But on the other hand, you help people not to quarrel, but to come to Jesus and confess their sins, that they have been so quarrelsome in the past. Then you find peace. Then you find happiness. Now today's specific text is in verse 10, 11, 12. This is for today's lesson, which is entitled Double Blessings. Wonderful. We have in Chinese a word, you say Gong Xi, the second Xi, for those who are getting married, is double happiness. You know that. Yeah, double. Xi, Xi, both sides. Here it is. These three verses tell us how to get double happiness. Happiness now, happiness to come, happiness temporal, happiness eternal. So I have made a little OHP, just one today. Right, that is your focus. The title of today's sermon is Double Blessing. Double. Yes, we Chinese particularly like things double. They say good things always happen double. You give people a gift, never give one, give two. Double. Double blessing. What is it? What is in prospect on his promise? Yes. God promises, and his promises are all in Jesus Christ. Yea and amen. Abraham lived on the promises of God for 100 years, not receiving those promises. What we need to learn here this morning is that please understand, if God's word says so, if God promises, it will be so. And that you will receive that blessing one day in prospect, because God's promises never go waste. When he says so, it will be so. And when you believe him, that is called righteousness. Abraham believed God. It was reckoned to him for righteousness. That is our salvation. Because God has promised all who look to me, all who come to me, all who confess their sins and believe in Jesus Christ will have everlasting life. So, when you come to Jesus Christ, reading those blessings through the Sermon on the Mount, you will rejoice. How can you rejoice when there's a death in the family? That is very difficult, isn't it? Is it possible? Yes, in Jesus Christ. Although I'm very sad and brokenhearted because of a loved one who has died, but when I know he is in a better place with Jesus Christ in the place of rest, or my dear son or whoever it is has been killed in an accident or somehow, of course you are sad, but when you are in Christ, you rejoice to know that my loved one is now in the place of rest with the Lord Jesus, absent in the body, present with the Lord. Amazing. You rejoice. And then you can rejoice because of the assurance. All of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, all who have acknowledged him as Savior, all who came to this table of remembrance, all of us have a place in his kingdom. That is the end point, the future. And not only so, you can rejoice today because of the assurance there is something else wonderful coming, and this is going to be fulfilled in the day to come for eternity. Today, it is very hard to understand and imagine what is eternity. Let me try in my weak language. We've had a wonderful, wonderful Bible camp up in Awana. Oh, the weather, the climate is so good. The food is so good. The dwelling place, the rooms are so good. The lessons are wonderful. Wish we could have another week, is that right? But we were there 2 years ago. After 6 days, it's so good. Let's have another week. But that is a wish. Yes, only a wish list. One day, when we are in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, that week will never end. What did David the king says? One thing have I desired of the Lord. Just one thing. King David had everything you can talk about. You name it, he has it. But he says, there's only one thing I desire of the Lord. That will I seek after. My greatest wish, my greatest desire, and I hope you make this yours, is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. That is enough. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrows will erase, right? To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at His temple. Every day you can have Bible camp with Jesus. And you don't get tired. And it is so blessed. And we're going to learn new lessons all the time. And there is no end to it. That is eternity. You don't have to say, well, we are very tired now, take a rest. Oh, it's nighttime, going to sleep. And next morning, hungry, got to eat again. All those earth necessities are things of the past. Nobody will ever get sick. There are no doctors, no hospitals, no Choa Chu Kangs there. None of those things. And that goes on and on. As the hymn says, after 10,000 years, you got another 10,000 years. And it goes on forever and ever. That is eternity. Now, all these things are promised to you and to me. If only you will come and trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel. God come to be man, to be your Savior, to be my Savior. And these are the things He promises us. But dear friends, did you ever think of these things? Now, how can we be blessed when there are so many unhappy things? How can we be happy when there is sorrow? On the other hand, I say, dear friends, I want to give you some proofs this morning of men of God who have lived that experience and lived to tell us. One of our songs in our hymn book is by a man called Zinzendorf. We've sung this, Jesus still lead on till our rest be won. Remember that? Now, Count Zinzendorf was heir to a great inheritance, to a great estate. If he had continued, he would be also a great count and somebody very important. But when he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, he gave up everything just to have Jesus and to follow Jesus and to be a servant of the Lord Jesus so that he could rejoice every day. Rejoice in the midst of sorrow. Rejoice in the midst of sickness. Rejoice in the midst of incurable disease. How many people today who, of course, we all love to grow old, and when you grow old, you get into the old age bracket full of sickness. Alzheimer's, yes, Alzheimer's comes before you know anything. How do you know he's got Alzheimer's? In 1 hour, he asked me the same question 4 times. You know that person is on the way to Alzheimer's or already has it. These are the things that bug us, and we cannot get rid of them because we are in this earthly existence. But the solution is not in doctors, as I was told. Where people with Alzheimer's that we know, go and help that person.
prescribe the right medicine. As exactly, there is no prescription for Alzheimer's. Neither is there a prescription for old age, you know that. You can do anything you like. You cannot stave off old age. So these are the things you've got to face. And how can you face them? The answer, the solution is in Jesus Christ. You can face all these and rejoice. So Count Zinzendorf is an example. David the King is an example. One thing have I desired. Paul is an example, isn't he? Yes. Paul found the Lord Jesus, or I would rather say this, Jesus Christ found Paul going to kill Christians in the city of Damascus. And Jesus Christ said, Saul, Saul, what are you doing? Hurrying all the way to Damascus? It's hard for you to kick your foot against the pricks. It's very difficult to play football with a durian and their bare feet, you know. This is a very vivid way of making you understand. Saul, what are you doing? Saul said, Lord, Lord, what is it you want me to do? From that day, Christ took hold of him. I say, dear friends, if you feel the Lord Jesus Christ taking hold of your life, say, thank you, Lord. I have a young man who tells me from time to time, do you think I should go to study FEBC? I say, when the Lord calls you, you will know it. I cannot tell you. And afterwards, say, you told me. I gave up my job. Now I'm in the soup. No, I don't tell anybody that you must go. No. I say, when God calls you, you will go. And when God calls, there will be no mistake. And we need young men today. For I must go one day. There must be more to look after the interests of a congregation of 1,000. So, when you have found it, when God has called you, like Paul, oh, what a wonderful testimony he has. Listen to his testimony. Turn to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, one of the most wonderful chapters in the Bible. And the book of Philippians, if you have not read it, I urge you, please. You say, how can I have time to read Philippians? I say, you can read, you have time to read Philippians if you want to read this. I pray that God will lay in your heart to read. It's only 4 chapters. Take how long? Half an hour. And then you will learn something wonderful. Now, what does Paul say? So that we be encouraged to understand the blessing is in prospect. It is by promise. And once you receive that blessing, you can rejoice because you know the end point is I have a kingdom. Are you thrilled? Are you excited? Verse 1, chapter 3. By the way, let me inform you, in the 4 chapters, the word rejoice or words of the similar meaning is repeated 24 times. So whenever you are depressed, whenever you think you are born a loser, read the book of Philippians. And you know in Jesus Christ, you are the happiest person that can ever be. No happier person than the one who is in Jesus Christ our Lord. And you read the book of Philippians. Now look at verse 1 of chapter 3. What does Paul say? Read, finally, my brethren, rejoice. Yes. Rejoice not in man. Rejoice not because there's a new university and you can get in just at the right time, or because there's new business and you're going to be the CEO of that business. Wonderful, rejoice. Those things will pass away. But Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. If you have the Lord as your Savior today, you rejoice every day. And never, never go back on your discipleship of Jesus Christ. To write the same to you, the same thing to you, is not grievous, but for you it is safe, it's needful. Why does Paul keep on telling you 24 times in this epistle? Rejoice. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have him as your Savior,
you must never be depressed for more than a short time. Rejoice. If there is anyone here who is constantly moping, sorrowful, mourning, I said, cheer up. Read Philippians chapter 3, and it says, rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. You who have found Him as your Savior every day, you can afford to rejoice because the end point for you is you have a part in the kingdom of eternity. Singapore is so good, it will last you 70, 80 years. After that, what? Please understand, the human soul and mind and the spirit is never satisfied until you found eternal happiness. True? Absolutely. You will not be satisfied because God has put His spirit in you. And you want the best. And the best is for eternity. But you must know the way to this eternal happiness. And there is only one way, not many ways. Verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Wonderful if you have Jesus Christ as your Savior and Master, as the captain of your ship. Then you can say, I have a change of values. Do you have a change of values? We're just at the beginning of a new year. And by the way, 20 days of the new year has made it quite old already. Yes, time is flying by. But I say, don't let it fly too fast. You must think and examine your own life. Are there things that you can change in value? Is there a change in value? Whereas before, I find it quite easy to lie in bed and read Sunday Times until it is 9:45. Then I say, wow, church time, rush. Right? Anyone here like that? Oh, never mind. Sunday morning, there's a special television program. I will watch. I say, dear friends, is there a change of values? Paul says, those things that were gained to me, sleeping late on Saturday is the late night. They say Saturday night fever is very nice. You have it and then you come home bleary eye at 4 a.m. and you think it is great. I say it is sad. Listen to what Paul says. Those things were gained to me. Now I count them lost. Because what? Because of Jesus Christ. Since I found Him, I have a different set of values. I always remember those who come on Saturday afternoon. That's mine to me. Almost as important as a Sunday. Of course, not important compared to Sunday, but to me it's quite important. Because that's a Saturday I can see my children, spend some time with them. Do you have a change of values? Because Jesus Christ has come into your life, you take Saturday afternoon off. For what? For CMC. To most of you, it is just an initial. What is CMC? Who knows? Who cares? I say, there are some who care. And I say, those who come and care are people I love and admire. What do they do at CMC Saturday afternoon when other people go playing and having fine time? These are the people who say, Jesus can use me to reach out to some young people, some children who never hear the gospel, who may not get the opportunity to go to church on Sunday, but they can come on Saturday because some parents say, take the children off our hands. We don't know what to do with them. Send them to some place. So they come to CMC. I say, God bless. God bless those who do the CMC. I say, is there some time you think, what can I do to change my values? Those things I thought were gain to me, now may come for loss. If I spend my whole Saturday to myself, oh, how good I used to think now. You ask the CMC, dear friends, if you to take them away from CMC on Saturday afternoon, they say, possible, that is most precious to me. I'm going to there to meet the children to help them to know the way of salvation. There is a change of values, change of priorities. Is there a change of priority? How about the Sunday afternoon, 6 o'clock? Let me challenge you, all of you again. If you have never come to Sunset Eat, Gospel Bible Fellowship, examine your life, examine your heart. What have you counted more precious than doing coming to Sunset Gospel Bible Fellowship? And then add on to the strength of the worship. For your own soul, it is good that you come here and meet with the Lord once again at the close of His day. Is there a change of values? Can you consider this? What things would gain to me? For me, formerly, it was the most important event of the week. My serial television, how can I miss it? I must be there. Or some people say, my family meeting. I say, tell me your family meeting. That's good. What time? My dinner. I've been told that I cannot come because I have family dinner. I say, do you eat dinner from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock? Can anybody tell me that because I have a family dinner, I must eat with them between 5 and 9 o'clock? I say, I can have my family dinner on Saturday. If they want to come on Saturday, very well. Come at 7:30, 8 o'clock. I can eat with you till 9 o'clock. I reserve. There is a change of values because that is God's time. So what things I counted gain for myself, I count loss. Yeah, no more. No more those things that will take away God's time. Is there a change of values? If you want to be happy, let Jesus take charge of your life. How about Tuesday night? How many of you can say, honestly, I cannot come to prayer meeting because I have something so important that it is more important than prayer meeting? If so, you continue. But if not, come. Verse 7. What things were gained to me? Those are counted loss for Christ. Make Jesus Christ your first priority. Make Him your first love. For if you love a person so much, you will give up everything else for that person. True? Absolutely. If you say, I love thee, oh, you can sing with your mouth so big and so loud. I love thee, Jesus. All those things. But then when it comes to, do you love me on Tuesday night? You come to pray together and to strengthen the fellowship and to help the church grow. Are you willing to do that? Show your love by that change of values. Verse 8, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He is the greatest friend. He is the greatest knowledge. There is no other friend than Jesus Christ because He is with you. Under any circumstances, in any place, at any time, day and night, 24 hours a day, 365 days a week, a year, and no matter whether you're in east or west or south or north, in any continent, in any city, He is there with you. What a wonderful Savior. Do you love Him? Do you serve Him? Examine yourself. So Paul says, for Him I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul had nothing. Nothing of earthly value. Nothing. All he had was sufferings, stonings, imprisonments, shipwrecks, false brethren, betrayals, and floggings, and stonings, and near death every time. But those things to him, he says, I'm happy because I suffered them for my Lord, not for yourself, for the Lord. Now I want to conclude. I know my time is very late. Verse 13 and 14. This is addressed to you. Brethren, I count not myself to have arrived. This one thing I do, forget the things that are behind. Reach forth to those things which are before. There are so many wonderful things for you to do for the Lord. As I said, the year is still young. Examine yourself. We have invitations to serve. You say, well, those, no more vacancies, too bad. Every ministry is full house now. I say, really?
come and see me. I'll just tell you what to do.
There are so many things we can do for the Lord. And I tell you, the Lord is no man's debtor. You serve Him, He blesses you. And you'll be more than satisfied. Verse 14. Therefore, for the year 2008, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press forward. I press on because the Christian life must not be stagnant. Every stagnant water becomes foul water. And every stagnant water can breed mosquitoes, you know that, and dengue fever. Do not stagnate. Don't be stagnant water. Let us all be flowing water, running water, alive, active for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we do all this for the sake of two verses. All these things are meaningful for the sake of two verses. You can change your whole lifestyle, your priorities, your timetable of life can be whole changed because of two verses. What two verses? Last two verses, 20 and 21. Philippians 20, 21. We're going to read this. You've heard it so many times. You read with me too. Everybody read, please, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Lord Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Amen. What a great conclusion to a great chapter. Our citizenship, the word conversation I've explained many times before is our citizenship. You say, I'm a Singaporean. I say, congratulations, you're a Singaporean. Very good. But we all here have dual citizenship. My citizenship is in heaven, from whence I have a hope, the blessed hope Jesus is coming. Therefore, when I know He is coming for me, I can change my values, my priorities. All my own needs become less important, fall in important. And in the place of my own priorities, I put Jesus Christ first. Why? Because my citizenship is in heaven, and He's my Lord, and He's coming for me, and He's going to ask me, hey, what have you done? What have you done on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock? When people are worshiping and glorifying me, why are you in the Island Club? Wow, so important. Is the Island Club so important that you cannot come to church? Or what other club you go? Or just lazing at home because I'm tired. Are you that tired? Are you really that tired? So I say, dear friends, our citizenship must determine what we do. What are our priorities? Jesus Christ speaks to you, and please do not refuse Him, for He gave His life for you. And He makes the future meaningful for you, eternity, for eternity. And when you finish 10,000 years, you go to the Lord Jesus and says, don't worry, another 10,000 coming, and it goes on and on. And you will never get tired. Change your priorities for the Lord. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we speak to us today, that we may realize there is far more to life than just living for ourselves. But because Jesus has lived for us, help us now to live for Him. Bless your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.